Genesis chapter 26, verse 15, the Bible says, "For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for each one that's here. Thank you for your word, that we can meet about it and learn from it. And I pray that you'd meet with us tonight. I pray you'd speak to every heart and mind, that you do in our lives as individuals what you know needs to be done tonight. Father, I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, tonight would be the night they decide to receive him. And then, Father, for all the Christians that are here, again, you just do in our life what you know needs to be done. And we'll give Jesus all the glory, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. Abraham was a well digger. The land in which he lived, he'd lived in a lot of different spots where he needed water. And so he would set his, he'd pick out a spot, and I don't know if he had a, you know, I've seen, heard people use these sticks to find water, and I don't know if Abraham did that, or if God just told him where to dig, or if he had to dig several places before he found water. But in the verses that we read, it implied that in his day, he dug wells, and he got water from those wells. And getting water from a well is a blessing from God, especially in Abraham's day. You need water to live. You need water for your animals to live. You need water to, if you're going to stay in one place and plant a garden and it doesn't rain, you need water to irrigate that garden. And so water, because it was so necessary to life, and because Abraham lived in a place that water wasn't plentiful, every time he dug a well and he found water, it was a blessing from God. And if you notice, and I won't take the time to tell you some of the names tonight, but every time that he found water in a well, he always named it. And that name was a praise to God for the blessing that God had given him in finding water. Well, Abraham died. And the Philistines, these verses tell us, came and they stopped up all the wells. They would throw rocks down in them. They would put dirt down in them because they didn't want God's blessing that was on Abraham, passing from Abraham, the father in our story, and to Isaac, the son. I mean, they just didn't want Isaac to have all these wells where that his father had dug, because they represented the blessings of God. And if you read in that chapter, one of the reasons that they were sending Isaac away, the Philistines were sending him away, is because of the blessings that God gave him. He gave him animals and he gave him and wealth. And the Philistines were jealous. And they said, "Isaac, you have a lot more than we do. Why don't you just leave? Why don't you just go and live someplace else?" And as he went, he traced the steps of his father, and he found that every place his father had dug a well, and he knew it because he was there. He was a child when they were being dug. He knew what a blessing it was when dad found water. He knew the names of the wells that his dad had named, representing the blessing of God. And so the Philistines were saying, as they filled up those wells, "We don't want Abraham's blessings passing to his son, Isaac. We don't want the blessings of God on Abraham just without just passing to Isaac." And by the way, this is not my message tonight, but I just want to stop and make a comment on something that recently has happened. And I'll put it in this context. We're letting the Philistines of the world fill up too many of our dad's wells. We're letting the Philistines throw dirt down the shaft of the well that God has used to bless our nation and bless our country. I mean, the thing that I'm talking about, when the big three automotive companies came out and they said they were going to offer benefits to couples of the same sex, and I sent an email to the president of General Motors expressing my dismay and my concern about why our company would do something like that. why our company would offer benefits to those people that are living in sin. You might say, well, no, those people were born like that. No, they weren't. God never made anybody like that. That's sin, S-I-N. And too many times in our country, we've let a minority of people pass a rule or pass a regulation that goes against this book, goes against the Bible. I mean, we let them take prayer and the Bible out of the schools. That was a well that caused God to bless our country. When we held up this word and we let people pray in schools, that was a source of a blessing. And God blessed us because of that. And when we stood for right and when we called sin, sin, that was a well of blessing that God put on our country. And there's too many Philistines filling up the wells, and we need to rise up in righteous indignation and say no more. No more can you fill up the wells of God's blessing. We need to get back to the wells of our Father if we expect the blessings that God put on this country in the time of our dad's day. Then we need to have the same wells that they had. We need to uphold the same book that they upheld. And we need to uphold the same God that they upheld. And the same righteousness that they upheld if we expect the same blessing. And that's not my message. I thought I'd just throw that in for nothing tonight. So Abraham's digs these wells. God gives him water as he digs as a blessing. Abraham dies. The Philistines come and said, we don't want Abraham's blessings passing to his son. So we're going to fill him up. We're going to fill him up so he can't get water. He can't be blessed by God. Isaac comes along. He needs God's blessings. He needs the same blessings that his father Abraham got from God. And so he went to the same spots that Abraham dug his wells. And he said, Dad found water in this place. The Philistines have filled it up. I'm going to dig that well again. I've got to have the blessings that my dad did, Isaac says. I need what he got from God, Isaac says. And so I'm going to go back to the very same spots that Daddy went to. And I'm going to dig again the wells that my father Abraham dug. And as we read, he dug those in those same places. He found water, got the blessings of God in those same places. And he named again, he put the same name to the well that his father Abraham gave that well. He called it by the same name. Tonight, I want to speak on the subject. Just one, dad's wells. Dad's wells. If we want the blessing of God in our homes, if we want the blessings of God in our families, we've got to go to the same source that our dads went to. We've got to go to the same God that blessed our dads. We've got to dig the same wells. And tonight, I want to mention seven of them. I promise you, I won't be long. We'll get out in time to still... We don't have to worry about beating the Methodist to any of the restaurants tonight, because if you stay, we'll feed you here. But I still will get done about the normal time. And I know some of you... there was a couple of you that mentioned to me this morning, well, my dad wasn't a Christian. My dad wasn't saved. Then you need to be an Abraham. You need to dig the wells for your family. If you had a dad that was saved, you need to be an Isaac. I'm going to go back and I'm going to dig the wells that Dad dug. I want the same blessing that Dad had on his family. I want the same blessing on my family. The same blessing that Dad had on his home. I want the same blessing on my home. And the best way to get it, the only way to get it, is the same way that Dad got it. Is dig the wells. And again, I want to mention some of them tonight. Number one, the well of love. The well of love. And I'm going to talk about two or three people that Dad loved that you need to love if you want the blessing of God on your home. Dads, you need to, first of all, love your wives. You need to love that one that you committed yourself to, the one that you stood before God and your family and your friends, and you promised God that you would love, honor, and cherish her. And as the Bible says, we ought to love our wives enough to be willing to die for them. I believe that's our place as husbands, And I believe you can't be the right kind of dad until you're the right kind of husband. And I believe you can't be the right kind of dad until you love your wife the way that God tells us to love her. God tells us to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And so tonight, I would speak to every dad, I would speak to every husband. If you want the blessings of God on your home, then you love your wife. You love her. You say, Brother Darrell, she's hard to love. Doesn't make any difference. You love her. You say, well, sometimes she doesn't love me. Doesn't make any difference if she loves you or not. You love her. You love her. You love her. The best thing that you can do for your children, dads, is love your wives. Now, and I just want to park here for just a second. That love ought to grow stronger the more time you spend together. That love ought to grow stronger through the years. That love ought to grow stronger as you get to know each other more and more. You know, there's still things about we've been married, for almost, it will be 27 years this August. I'm still finding new things out about my wife. I mean, things I never knew. Opinions that she had, and it's amazing. I love it. I mean, it's and I don't know about you, Brother Clint. Are you still finding new things about? And Brother Larry, are you still finding new things? Yeah. Okay. So it's not I'm not unique in that. You find out new things about your wives every day. Love them. Just keep loving them. And then, dads, you ought to love your kids. Now again, you can't love your kids right until you love your wife right, but you ought to love your kids and you ought to tell them they ought to know. You ought to tell them. It's easy to tell them when they're Dominique's age, when you can hold them and you know they slobber and you say, I love you, and they say, I love you back, and they give you that slobbery kiss. It's easy when they're Bradley's age, I mean just a cutie. And I bet you he tells mom and dad all the time that he loves them. You should. And they probably tell him all the time that they love him. It's easy when they're Patrick's age, get a little bit older. It's easy to hug him because you still hug your mom and tell her you love her. Sure, you ought to. It's easy. When they get teenagers and they don't want that affection so much, you still ought to tell them that you love them. I think you ought to, if you have teenage boys, you ought to tell them that you love them. I think if you have teenage boys who don't want to be hugged, you ought to hug them anyway. And I think you ought to let your children know that you love them, and you ought to love them. My dad loved me. I have no doubt about that. He told me often. He tells me every time I talk to him. I called him today to wish him a happy Father's Day. And before he got off the phone, he said, I just want to let you know I love you. And I'm glad that I got a dad who tells me that every time that I talk to him. I tried to dig his well. By the way, there's no doubt in my mind that my dad loved my mom. I wish I was more like him. I can honestly stand before you tonight and tell you when I was at home growing up, I did not see my mom and dad fight one time. Not one time. Now that they've gotten older and I've gotten older and I've seen them fuss at one another. I never saw that when I was a kid. But I see them fuss at one another now. But I've never, ever seen them fight. I mean, have a knockdown, drag-out fight. And that's the way it ought to be. If you're going to fight, do it behind closed doors. If you're going to fight, you go somewhere and get it out and then kiss and make up and then come back out and let the kids see the kissing and not the fighting. They need to know that you love one another, and they need to know that you love them. And isn't it a shame, and isn't it a tragedy that there'll be hundreds of thousands of children that will go to bed tonight and have no mom, no dad tell them that they're loved? And so if you want the blessing of God on your home, then you love your children. And you tell them. You let them know. Number two, the well of discipline. I think there ought to be rules in the home. I think there ought to be punishment associated with each one of those rules. And I think when the rule is broken, the punishment ought to be meted. It's okay to have mercy and it's okay to have grace, but not all the time. I mean, if there's a rule and that rule is broken, then the punishment ought to be meted out. I was talking to one of the ladies in our church who has a granddaughter who goes different places a lot of the time. And she says, you know, one of her problems is she has a different set of rules every place she goes. Some places she goes, there's very little rules, and they don't enforce them. Other places she goes, they're very strict, and they punish her even if she thinks about breaking one. And she's confused. And I was thinking this afternoon, I'm glad that our God has a set of rules. I'm glad that our God doesn't change those rules. I'm glad that it does. I don't have to do one thing on Monday to please God and another thing on Tuesday to please Him. I'm glad He hasn't changed the rule book since He wrote it for all eternity. The rules stay the same. And I'm glad that I have a God, when I break the rules, punishes me, because the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Now, I had a hard time understanding that when I was Bradley's age and when I was Patrick's age, and my dad would say to me before he whooped me with the razor strap, this is going to hurt me more than it does you. I said, no way, Dad. How can it hurt? Let me have the razor strap. Let me take a whack, and then you can understand how it feels. But he never let me do that. But when I became a parent and I had to spank and I had to discipline, I knew exactly what he was talking about. But I did it for the same reason he did it. I did it for the same reason you did it. You do it today. You love your child. And you want him to turn out right. And so you punish him to let him know that sin is wrong and there is a punishment for it. You teach him about God as you do that. And there's too many homes where there's no rules. There's too many homes where the rules aren't enforced, where the punishment is not meted out. If you had a dad, if you had a mom that loved you enough to spank you and to correct you, you ought to praise God. You ought to thank God. It's hard to do when we're going through it. Huh? How many of you ever got mad at your mom and dad for a spanking? I'll lift both my hands like Brother Forrest did this morning. I mean... There were times I got so mad. But you know what my dad always did after he got done spanking me? He always told me that he loved me. He gave me a hug. There were times I didn't want him to hug me. I was so mad. But I couldn't stay mad because he loved me and he told me. And if we want God to bless our homes, we need to dig the well of discipline. And we need to have some rules, and we need to enforce those rules. Oh, and by the way, for Steve and Tommy's sake, as long as you're living at home, I think you ought to obey your parents' rules. Say, hey, I'm 15, I'm 16, you know, I'm going on 24. I ought to be big enough, and Jenny, this goes for you too, I ought to be big enough to decide for myself. I ought to be able to set my own rules. I'll tell you the same thing my dad told me. He said, as long as you have your feet underneath my table and you're eating food off my plates, you're going to obey my rules. Whether you agree with them or not, whether you think they're fair or not, there are rules. And as long as you're in the house, you ought to obey those rules. See, Tom, I bet you didn't think you were going to get this tonight. You thought I'd preach a nice, sweet Father's Day message tonight, didn't you? Number three, the well of character. The well of character. Saying what you mean and then doing what you say. If you tell somebody you're going to do it, do it. My dad taught me this lesson. Again, I wish I was more like him. Sometimes I overcommit myself. And there's others in this room that do the same thing. We tell people we're going to do things, but we tell too many people we're going to do things, and we don't get them all done. My dad never told me anything that he did not do. He always made it a point. If he promised me something, we did it. If something came up and plans had to be changed, I can only remember one time in my life when my dad promised me something and we had to change our plans because something came up that he couldn't get out of. All the other times, he put the other thing off and he kept his promise. He kept his word. And if we want the blessings of God in our homes, we need to have character. We need, not the character that you're thinking of. Some of you are smiling at me when I say, I'm not talking about being a character, I'm talking about having character. I'm talking about being people of our word. I'm talking about when we say we're going to do something, then we do it. We do it. So the well of character. Number four, the well of hard work. The well of hard work. I thank my dad tonight that he taught me how to work. My dad did not go to college. My dad did not have a good job. Most of the time I was growing up, he worked two or three jobs, and my mom also worked. And I can remember him coming in tired from one job, eating dinner, taking a quick nap, and getting ready and going to the other one. I don't ever remember him calling in sick. I don't ever remember him staying home from work. When it was time to go to work, he went to work. And he worked hard. And when we were old enough to go with him, he took us and he worked us hard. One of the things that he did when I was a little bit older than Patrick was he'd go into the houses that the government had repossessed, that they'd make the government loans on for people borrowed, and then they defaulted on a loan. He'd go in and remodel those houses. And that's where I learned to paint and what things I can do around the house. And there ain't many, but there's some. I learned from him as we did those things. And when he expected us to work. I can remember my brother. He doesn't have as much character as I do. I can say that since he's not here. He would try to slough. And I can remember so many times when we'd be in there in the hot summer, painting, sweating, where my brother would be out drinking a pop, taking a coffee, not a coffee break, but a break. And Dad would say, 10 minutes, that's it, let's go. And he'd always stretch it. He'd always try to go 15, 20 minutes. And Dad would always have to go get him and bring him back in. He believed in hard work. He believed in working, and he taught us that same thing. I believe we need to teach our children to work. I believe we need to teach them that if somebody hires them and is going to pay them, then they need to do their best. They need to do what that verse in the Bible says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Man, if you're going to take a job, don't give it half-hearted. You give it all you got. I mean, give it all your might. Put your whole mind to it. Put your whole strength to it. And again, I'll look at the young people in the room because I can influence you the most. When you go to take a job and you agree with somebody to work for a certain amount, don't go in and give them a half-hearted job. Give them all you got. Put all your mind to it. Put all your strength to it. And work hard. If we want the blessings of God on our homes, on our nation, that's what we need to do. We need to dig the wells that... Hey, and you say, well, Brother Darrell, that's for the old days. Well, the old days were the good days. Huh? You know what? We'd have a lot less people taking aid if... and again, I don't want to get off onto social issues tonight, but I believe people ought to work. If they're able, I believe they ought to work. Now, I think we ought to help people that can't, but if people can work, I think they ought to work. And I'm a firm believer in that verse in the Bible. If you're able to work and you don't work, then you shouldn't eat. It's what it says. I didn't make it up. That's what God said. And so I think we need to dig the well of hard work. Number five, I think we need to dig the well of church attendance. I think we need to go back to the days that every time the doors open, we ought to be in church. I'm talking about Sunday morning for Sunday school, Sunday morning for morning service, Sunday evening for evening service, and prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And then if you have revival, you ought to be there every service. My dad taught me that. When the church door was open, I was there. I was there. My brothers were there. And again, I'll talk about my brother. My brother did not like to go to church. He'd try to stay home. I can remember so many arguments. And my brother turned out not to be too bad. He's not as good as his older brother, but he turned out pretty good. Yeah, I know. I'll have to bring him and let you meet him someday. But he moved out of home in his senior year of high school because he didn't want to go to church. And Dad told him, if you're going to live here, you're going to go to church. He didn't get up and ask us, well, do you feel like going to church this morning? He expected us to be ready and go. He never gave us a choice. Say, well, I think you warp your child's character if you don't give them a choice. No, you don't. You warp them when you give them a choice. They ought to know that mom and dad go to church, and if they're under your roof, they're going to go with you. Going to go with you. Number six, the well of gratitude. I'm almost done. Two more. The well of gratitude. We need to be more thankful, and we need to show our thanks in more ways. People do things for us, and we don't stop and say thank you. God does things for us, and we don't stop and say thank you. I can remember my dad. We had a lady in our church that really took a liking to my mom. And she would do things for us. And I can remember a couple of occasions where my mom decided that she was going to wait until the next day to express her thanks for what that lady did for us. And Dad would say, "Nope, we're going to call tonight and say thank you." I can remember one Sunday where she did something real nice for us, and we got home and my mom tried to call her and say thank you, and the phone was busy. And I can remember my dad getting us all in the car on Sunday night and driving over to that lady's house so that we could thank her. Had to get her off the phone. She was talking on the phone. And we thanked her. That's the way it ought to be. We ought to be thankful for what others do for us. And by the way, we ought to be thankful for what God does for us. And I think being grateful to God ought to be like confessing sins. I don't think you ought to get too far behind. You know, that verse in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't think that verse, and you've heard me say this before, I don't think that verse means you get to the end of the day and say, "Lord, I know I sinned today. Forgive me of all those sins." I think you ought to name them one by one and say, "God, I did this today," or "I didn't do this today. I'd like you to forgive me." I think you ought to do the same thing. And you ought not to get behind. If you get behind, you'll forget. And you won't be able to confess them. You ought to do it while it's fresh in your mind. You ought to do it every day. I think same way with our blessings. If we don't do it when they happen, we'll get behind. And we need to thank God for them. And then number seven, we ought to get back to the well of teaching. The well of teaching. Do you know that it's not the school's responsibility to teach your children? It's not the school's responsibility to teach mine? Oh yeah, they help us on the reading, the writing, and the arithmetic. But it's our responsibility to teach our children what life's about. It's our responsibility to teach our children about God. It's our responsibility to teach our children how they ought to live their life. I thank God tonight that I had a dad that used every moment as a teaching moment. Every moment. I mean, there was almost nothing that happened where he didn't say, "Hey, I want to point something out to you about this situation." And I'm glad that I had a dad that took the time to teach me what it was to be honest and what it was to work hard and what it was to be kind and what it was to be grateful. And if we want the blessings of God on our homes, and by the way, we need them. We need them more today than ever. We do. I laugh at these people that say, "Oh no, the world's getting better." I got news for you. The world ain't getting better. It's getting worse. And the sanctuary that you build for your children in your homes is more important today than it was when I was growing up. And we need to teach our children that it's still right to do right, and God's still God, and we need to honor Him. Isaac said, "I'm going to dig the wells of my dad." God blessed him. I want the same blessing. I need the same blessing. I'm going to dig the wells again. And if we want the blessings of God on our home and on our family, we need to dig the same wells. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for the truth that comes from this book. Thank you for our fathers. Thank you Father, for the many Christian fathers that folks in this room have had. Father, I pray tonight that we would be more like them. That we take the characteristics that they had, that the things that they did that you blessed them for, and we'd exercise those same things. Dear God, I pray that you would make us the kind of fathers, the kind of grandfathers that we need to be. And then, Father, I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, I pray tonight they understand they're a sinner and there's a penalty for that sin. It's eternal separation from you, spiritual death. But then when Jesus went to the cross, he paid that penalty for them. And tonight he offers them forgiveness for their sins, cleansing from their sins, eternal life, and a home in heaven. They simply come and receive the gift of salvation. I pray tonight, Father, if there's just one person here that doesn't know Christ, tonight would be the night they decide to receive him. And for the Christians that are here, Father, you speak to us. If there's something in our life that needs to be changed, I pray you'd point it out, and we'd be faithful to do it. Bless the invitation. Use it for your glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.